Te Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tarahi Sma Chit Kshudra Rasan Vichinvams Tan Makshikabhir Vyatito Vimana Tatrati Krichrat Pratilabdhamano Balad Vilumpantyata Tam Tatornye Karhi Smakich Chudra Rasan Vichinvams Tanta Makshika Bhir Vyatito Vimana Tatrati Krishrat Pratilabdhamano Balad Vilum Pantyata Tam Tatonye Karhi Smakits Chudra Rasan Vichintam Tan Makshika Bhir Vyatito Vimana Tatrati Krishrat Pratilabdhamano Balad Vilum Pantyata Tam Tatonye Smakit chit sometimes kshudra very insignificant rasan sexual enjoyment vichinvan searching for tat of those women makshikabihi by honeybees or the husbands or family members Yatita, very much aggrieved. Vimana, insulted. Tatra, in that. Ati, very much. Kripsarat, with difficulty, because of spending money. Pratilabdhamana, obtaining sexual enjoyment. Balad, by force. Vilumpanti, kidnapped. Ata, thereafter. Tam, the object of sense enjoyment. The woman. Tata, from him. Anye, another debauchee. Translation. Sometimes, in order to have a little insignificant sex enjoyment, one searches after debauched women. In this attempt, one is insulted and chastised by the woman's kinsmen. This is like going to take honey from a beehive and being attacked by the bees. Sometimes, after spending lots of money, one may acquire another woman for some extra sense enjoyment. Unfortunately, the object of sense enjoyment, the woman, is taken away or kidnapped by another debauchee. Purport. In a great forest, honeycombs are very important. People often go there to collect honey from the combs, and sometimes the bees attack and punish them. In human society, those who are not Krishna conscious remain in the forest of material life simply for the honey of sex life. Such debauchees are not at all satisfied with one wife. They want many women. Day after day, with great difficulty, they try to secure such women, and sometimes, while trying to taste this kind of honey, one is attacked by a woman's kinsmen and chastised very heavily. By bribing others, one may secure another woman for enjoyment, yet another debauchee may kidnap her or offer her something better. This woman hunting is going on in the forest of the material world, sometimes legally and sometimes illegally. Consequently, in Krishna consciousness, in this Krishna consciousness movement, the devotees are forbidden to have illicit sex. Thus, they avoid so many difficulties. One should remain satisfied with one woman. Being duly married, one can satisfy one's lusty desires with his wife without creating disturbances in society and being punished for doing so. So in the material world, the difficulty comes up because of this pride and greed. Because of greed, one wants more. If we analyze, then basically the four regulative principles are the result of greed. One wants more, right? One wants, in this case, sexual relationships outside of marriage. What is more than what is acquired? He wants the idea that I am going to be happy and not sad, right? Because intoxication removes the sad part, supposedly, right? And so one wants more, right? Gambling, one's trying to get more. Meat eating, one wants beyond what one can taste, right? One's not satisfied just to get what comes easily. One has to kill others to get something to taste. So the difficulty with all these is just that tendency to want more. Right? Sometimes it's glorified in the material world. But the point is it's always going to be a source of trouble. So here then this aspect is brought up is because of wanting more, because of this greed, then one goes through so much difficulty, so much suffering. Is that the difficulty comes up is that now the wife is going to deal in a particular way. Others are going to deal in a particular way. So therefore, what you deserve is what you get. Right? So it's not about greed. It's not about getting more. But when one's beyond that, then one has to go outside that. Find other ladies, ones who are willing. But the problem with that, then, women, there's always someone around them. Especially if they're desirable, there's always somebody connected. Right? And one may say, no, but one can find. But the problem is if there's no connection and you get, then the difficulty comes up, then it's again the same woman. You understand? It means it's your woman. So then it's again what's beyond. Because we're talking about greed here. We're not talking about relationship. Right? That's the difficulty that comes up. And the forest of material enjoyment, relationship has never been mentioned as the primary driving force. That's the difference. That the Vedic system and the transcendental system is about the relationships. The mundane platform is about what will we get for sense gratification. So it's not about the persons, it's about the facilities and how you can enjoy them. So then it will become one's own woman again, and then that greed will take one beyond. And, as is pointed out, even you make some arrangements, and you get through or past the element of being insulted by kinsmen, right? Kinsmen doesn't necessarily mean it has to be family, it has to be someone who has a relationship with a woman. Right? Because if you're dealing not properly, someone's going to make a comment. It's just the way it is. One can say so many things, but it just, that's what happens. So one will be insulted. One wants to interact, but people are telling you no. That's insulted. So then one will finally arrange something, but then because the woman is someone who can be available, that means she's available. Right? There's the idea is no, I will find a woman and make who is not available, make her available, and then having been made available, she'll be exclusively mine. Right? Does that logically make any sense? No. So what does it mean? Available means available. So just whoever's taking care of nicely, whoever impresses. Because just as the man is trying to get his sense gratification, the woman is also looking for that emotional interaction. Who thinks she's important? Right? Because the point is if one is dealing with her, that's because she's important. Right? So many ladies are there, why her? She's important. Now, if someone else can make her feel more important, then, hurry ball, she's gone. Right? This is the difficulty, because we're not dealing with duty here, we're not dealing with the mode of goodness here. We're just dealing with passion and ignorance. So, therefore, it's wherever one can get the most, that's where one's going to go. So, the whole process won't work. We think, I will create this stable, steady situation of sense gratification for myself. But it's impossible, because the method one used to gain it was by taking it away from someone else. Right? So it's connected. It won't work. So the material world, that's why it's mentioned, if you perform your duties properly, then what is due to you, that's your quota, then things will work. One wants more beyond that. There will always be problems, because whatever you get that's more, that same more will always be lost. There's no such thing. We don't hear of anybody gaining the world and keeping it. Right? Think about it. Whoever tried for world domination, it didn't work out so good. Right? One of them's drinking horse urine. The other one's ending up in some little, you know, cement bunker somewhere. Right? You know, it's just, it goes on and on and on. It just doesn't work out for them. Whoever tried, it didn't work out. So the point is what is your quota that you can have, because no one can take that. It means unscrupulous people of course try. But one can confidently defend that position until what gets too late in life, and then you know you just take it as Krishna's taking this away, like Parikshit Maharaj. Right? He's attained that position that if it's taken away, okay, then we move forward. But other than that, then it's one's duty. That is what one can have. So therefore, one makes the endeavor to make it work. If we're working just on sense gratification, then the problem is sense gratification is already more than is our quota. Right? Service, performing our duties, that's our quota. What comes from that is good. That's what's yours. Right? But as soon as we try to get beyond that, sense gratification means it's not yours. Right? If I see a sense object, I try to enjoy it, it's not mine. Right? If I see a sense object, see that it's Krishna's, engage it in Krishna's service, that interaction of the sense and sense object, that's legal. That's fine. So anything, sense gratification is automatically not our position. It's not ours, it belongs to Krishna. So when we try to take it, they'll always be lost. Because we have to remember, Krishna said, you know, he's the most intelligent. He is jnana. He is intelligence, right? He's the cheater of the cheat. So we try to cheat and get more. Krishna's more clever. He will cheat us. Right? And he'll cheat us by the same method that we cheated. You know? So that's the way it goes. So it's a very, very interesting system. So Jarabhar's pointing this out is that if you function in this system of the material, the force, the material enjoyment, you will suffer. There's no way around it. It's not like you have options here. It means you can suffer or you could also suffer. And if you want it, you could also maybe suffer. But there's not options outside of this. It's just what's there. That's what the material world offers. So now, that's not because, how you say, that's the Lord's desire. It's just that you're working with his energy and trying to engage the energy separate from the position of the nature. We have to remember, Maya is not a debauched girl. Right? She's a very dutiful person. She has her husband. She takes care of everything as she's supposed to. So you deal with her, you know, in an illegal way, you will suffer. It's just the way it is. We think, no, it's an option. It's open. No, it's not. Right? The material energy already belongs to Krishna. She already has a husband. She already has things to do. We try to take. So naturally, we will be insulted. It's just the way it works. Right? So that's the thing. And we have 33 million demigods there ready to insult us at any moment, right? If we deal with the material energy improperly. So Maya has plenty of kinsmen here. You know, and then Shiva, the false ego. False ego means you'll do something wrong, everything will fall apart. So it always works out that way. So Jarabhar is pointing out, don't take this path. You take the spiritual path. You take the path understanding everything connected to the Lord. Then everything becomes glorious. The same material energy no longer is there for sense gratification, there, you know, being illicit. Now it is one's quota that one's engaging in Krishna's service. Everything becomes glorious. Same position, nothing changed. The facilities are the same. But now it becomes glorious rather than the forest of material enjoyment. Simply that switch of consciousness that makes all the difference. Okay, any questions on this? Yes. Here's this little...
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, how can we know, identify what is my quota and what is like an over-endeavor?
What's my quota and what's an over-endeavor? Mm-hmm. Means what's within your prescribed duties. Your quota is within your prescribed duties. So what are your duties, then what is the natural position of that? That's what you endeavor for. Now, if in endeavoring for it for over a long period of time, it doesn't seem to work, then one might consider, okay, one might make your short list a little shorter. Right? But otherwise, then that's the natural thing. Like you see businessmen, he opens a business, it fails. He opens another one, it fails. He does this four or five times. Finally it works, and then he's one of these guys that write about in Forbes magazine. Right? So, because he's a businessman, it's his quota to do business. But it doesn't mean he doesn't have previous karma that's going to make things not work so easily. Right? Does that make sense? But you have the professor at the university. He tries to do business and it fails. That's because he's not supposed to be doing business. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Is you have your duties based on your duties. That's how you establish whether it's an over-endeavor or not. So if it's within your duties, it's not an over-endeavor. But if you find that there's endless difficulty with it, then one consider at some point that it's an over-endeavor. Right? Unless, of course, there's some benefit from it. Does that make sense? Yes. Works? Doesn't work? So in other words, you have to take this, think about it, and apply it. Yes? No?
I was just thinking, you can do your prescribed duties, and then you can do your prescribed duties, and then so much suffering comes and comes and comes and comes.
Yeah, that comes anyway.
Yeah. So
it means if you're doing 50% suffering, 50% okay, that's in the material world, that's as good as it gets. That's called perfect. Right? But if you're looking at that 50% and think it shouldn't be there, that won't happen. That's like saying, you know, wonderful dog, loyal, keeps away the, you know, anybody that shouldn't be there, but doesn't slobber, doesn't bark, and doesn't have fleas. It doesn't happen. They go together, right? A nice meal means you still have to clean the kitchen, or you have to pay for the bill, one or the other. You know what I'm saying? There's no such thing as just this perfection that nothing goes wrong. It's called the heavenly planets that the facilities don't go wrong, but you're still not happy because someone else always has better facilities. Always. You know? So there is no such thing as nothing going wrong. So you have to analyze. If it you know, it goes wrong, but it goes right, it goes wrong, it goes right, then you're doing okay. Does that make sense? Something else? Oh, yes. I can't hear.
Thank you, Maharaj. I was asking if you could kindly elaborate, like in nowadays Mahatmya, sometimes also in Chaitanya Bhagavata, we find how Mahaprabhu's land and to his magnanimity doesn't carry the reaction aspect of, you know, our activities and so forth. So how we can perceive that in one sense, that nothing is being, let's say, punished in the Holy Dhamma.
No one's being punished in the Holy Dhamma.
There is nothing apparently.
Okay, yes, yes. Because you're dealing, when devotees, you're dealing with, Prabhupada calls Krishna karma. So it's not the reaction to your, you know, it's not karma as such as the reaction to what you do. It is Krishna's interaction to, how you say, inspire you to be Krishna conscious. See, for the materialist, they do something, they get a reaction, because that's just fair. Right? That's what it is. You've done a work. If it's been good, you should get a good result. If you haven't, then you get a bad result. It's just, it's set, it's fixed. How it's done, what are the percentages, what are the orders, it all works out like that. But when Krishna's taking care, it's what responses will make you more Krishna conscious, make you aware of your position. Now, since the idea of karma is to train the living entity, karma looks the same as Krishna karma, not the other way around. We always have a tendency to look at it that the material world's normal, and then there's this alternative of spiritual. No, spiritual's normal, then there's this alternative of mundane. Right? Because basically you can say it means three-quarters of the cosmic creation is all God-conscious, follows the laws of God. Then within the universe, the 14 planetary systems, then basically all the higher ones, then they're all devotees and following God's rules. The ones that are below, they follow God's rules but aren't really interested in God. Only on this small little portion of Jambudweep, then you have people that may not be interested in God and not follow His laws. So it's actually a real serious minority, right? Because you say 7 billion people, out of that, only a handful are really actually atheistic or really think they can get away with anything. It's not a lot of people like is presented, right? So you have 7 billion out of unlimited living entities in this universe who may or may not follow the Vedas. The whole rest of the cosmic creation does. So actually, this is the alternative. This isn't the standard. You know, it's just like the worm is in the stool. The worm thinks that that's standard, and being not in stool is an alternative. No, it's the other way around. Most living entities don't spend their time in stool, right? So, therefore, the material being the reflection of the spiritual, it's just a matter of you deal in rasa, that's how it responds. You deal with Krishna in a particular way, he responds with that. So if you deal with him in a way that you're taking what is his, he'll respond by reciprocating with you in that mood. So it's a matter of rasa, what's actually going on. Karma, that's just you do something, you get the results. It's just the mechanics of economics. Right? Does that make sense? Karma is just an economic function, because that's how people look at it. Right? So, but Krishna karma is a matter of rasa. Right? The same principles apply within the karma, but there it's fixed. Well, in the element of Krishna karma, it's not fixed, because if a devotee understands something's wrong and corrects it within his mind, there's no need of a reaction. On the platform of karma, there must be a reaction. Even if the person's reformed, you must get the reaction. But on the transcendental platform, if they've reformed, there's no need of reaction. That's the difference. That's why the how things work with right and wrong within the Vaishnava community is different from the mundane. Does that make sense? So therefore, what happens in the Dham and all that, it's all to purify one, to bring one closer to Krishna. Well, Maya, it's not a matter of purification, because you're not going to become pure anyway. Elephants, they take a bath, throw dirt on themselves. That's material karma. It's not going to purify it. It's just, that's all. But on the spiritual platform, then the Dham, the Lord, like this, then they take care of that purification so that one comes closer to Krishna. Is that okay? Something else? No, yes. The right and wrong of a devotee. Okay. See, right and wrong means, right means Krishna conscious, wrong means not Krishna conscious. So the width, the breadth of right and wrong is much different than we consider. Right means it's connected to Krishna. Right? So anything that can be connected to Krishna, then that's great. But if it's not connected to Krishna, it doesn't matter how pious it is, it's wrong. Well, in the material world, if it's pious, it's good, and if it's impious, it's bad. And Krishna consciousness doesn't even feature. But the 11th canto of Krishna explains that actual piety means in connection with the Lord. And impious means it's not connected to the Lord. So the person could be doing nice, he's great, he's taking care of his family, he goes to work, he's nice with everybody, right? But he's still sinful, because it's not connected to Krishna. And the devotee connection to Krishna, even if he's doing something he shouldn't be doing, right? He's hopping over the cemetery fence, going in and stealing the flowers and bringing them back to Krishna. It's wrong, but at the same time, he's doing it for Krishna. So, spiritual benefit will be there. But, you know, it's not the ideal place to get flowers, and neither will the people that put the flowers there appreciate it. So, therefore, it's adjusted. But the intent is good. But the nice man, his intent is wrong, because he's good only because he'll get good results for himself. So it's very different than what we're used to. That's why when we're dealing with devotees, is if something's going wrong, it's because they're not Krishna conscious. So the solution is putting them in a more Krishna conscious situation. That's how it used to work before. Somebody had a problem, then they would travel with Prabhupada, do something like that to get them, you know, get the proper perspective, and then go back into the service and things like this. That's how it works. Because it's about becoming Krishna conscious. It's not about becoming moral. Because if we're going to talk moral and mlecha culture don't fit in the same sentence. There's no such thing as modern culture is moral. Modern culture is only considered moral in that you didn't find out what was wrong. As soon as you find out, oh, then everybody's, you know, waving their hands and, oh, look at this guy. All it is he got caught, that's all. So that's the difficulty. And then if the moralism isn't to support God consciousness, it's not actually directly to please Krishna, it's also a waste of time. A nice waste of time, but a waste of time. Just like liberation is a waste of time if it's not connected to Krishna. Doing your prescribed duties not connected to Krishna is a waste of time. Anything's a waste of time. So Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha are all a waste of time if they're not connected to the Lord. And they all become useful if they're connected to the Lord. Does that work? Or? Sorry? Yes. Then, okay. So you want to leave it at general, or? Okay. But you have to remember that point. The actual connection to Krishna is what makes it useful. Otherwise, it doesn't help the living entity. Yes. 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 Right. Yes. Very good. Thank you. Anything else? Yes.
As long as you explain what it means by legal and illegal in the purport today.
But it means legal and illegal in the purport. By today's purport, legal is with one's own wife. Illegal means not with one's wife. Right? So in other words, you take it from there. Like that. You understand? That the point is if there's going to be desires outside of what are recommended, it still should happen with one's own wife. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean it's recommended. Shastra gives recommendation. One should follow that, right? Because if you follow it, you're purified, you're uplifted. If you don't follow it, then at least it's not sinful. You understand? There's reaction, means you'll get attached, but it's not sinful. That's the point. You have to understand there's sin and there's reaction. Right? You'll get a reaction for something even if it's not sinful. Right? You do a good work, you'll get a result. Sin means then there'll be punishment. Right? The element of going to hell, the animal forms, all these different things, bad material situations, all these kind of elements. Does that make sense? So, in other words, non-recommended activity with one's own wife is okay, it's not sinful, but it's not recommended. But better your own wife than someone else's. Does that make sense? So if we take the hard line of just what's recommended, great, but along with that comes the performance of your prescribed duties and everything like that. That doesn't come up in the conversation. You know what I'm saying? That's the funny thing. We choose certain areas to be very Satya Yuga about. And then other areas, then we're very, hey, it's Kali Yuga, what to do? You know? But somehow, this is one of them. Right? So the point, does that make sense? The point is it stays within the house. Right? Then there's recommended, and then there's what's not recommended. But the point is according to taste, one is involved. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay.
Oh, and one is if you're just a tiny bit in Maya, will you still go back to Godhead?
If you're in a tiny bit of Maya, will you go back to Godhead? The key element is not what's your situation, but whether you remember Krishna at the time of leaving the body. Okay?
My second question is, if you have a friend who is in Maya, then
You try to get them out of Maya.
Can you remember?
If you have a friend who can't remember very long.
No, if you can't remember for very long at the time of death.
The time of death is very short. So basically you have a moment, or about 1/11 of a second. So that's the window that you have to be work at. Right? So that works. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. I just wanted to ask, you were talking about the different Krishna karma and then just material karma.
Yes.
I was wondering, at what point should one consider that one is in Krishna karma, or at which point should one consider that he's reverted back into material karma?
Okay. Basically, one takes up one is in the position of Krishna karma as soon as you've developed Shraddha. So that means from the earliest neophyte, then you're under that control. Because then they're categorized within the devotional process. If you give up the process completely and go back, right, then that may be there. Once one devotee was saying, telling Prabhupada, so many devotees have left. Prabhupada said, no, not so many have left. They were saying, no, but they've got, it says, very few have taken up meat eating again. So basically, if you start, you know, if you find yourself down at McDonald's, then you're back under karma. Only because you don't want to work with Krishna. Like that? But otherwise, if you're thinking of Krishna, no matter what the situation, that's what you're working with. But the problem is the quality of the interaction is less. Therefore, the quality of the reciprocation by Krishna is less. Does that make sense? Anybody who's developed Shraddha, then they're special. They're not ordinary. So they're in a different category. We tend to always say, oh, only if they're pure devotees, only if this, only that. That's our perspective. From Krishna and the Acharyas, someone's taken up the process, that's special.
On that point, but what about maybe followers of Christianity or some other religious path? If they have faith in God.
Followers
of Christianity.
Christianity or stuff like that. But the point is what is their faith in God?
So
do they actually believe in God as a person, that His form is eternal?
Perhaps.
No, perhaps is not good enough. Perhaps, you know, the sky is green sometimes, or perhaps, you know, small baby pigs fly when we're not around, or perhaps cows walk on their hind legs when nobody's looking at them. You know, like that, we can go on and on. I mean, that's how cartoonists work, perhaps. You know what I'm saying? It's a great ideal. It's been drilled into your head basically since seventh grade, right, all the way through till, you've done your graduation. But it's great for speculating and feeling good that you have something to think about, but as far as coming to conclusions, it's basically pretty useless. Do you know what I'm saying?
You're saying that it's...
Means, in other words, you want Siddhanta, you want conclusions, stick with what's real. Work from there. Once that's caught, you catch the principles, then you apply it into the details of areas that you want, and then you can catch all those perhaps that are important. You understand? The point is there's only religion. There's not more than one. We create that. That's the mode of passion. Just like we say, you know, people will say, well, there's Jewish souls, and there's Christian souls, and there's Muslim souls, and Hindu. Like that. No, there's just souls. So the religious process is only one. It's just how much of it is understood, how much of it's practiced. You understand? We're following the path. We're being given the opportunity to go to Braj. Right? Others are following a similar path and just going to Vrindavan, not Braj. Others are going to Mathura, others to Dwarka, others to Vaikuntha. Others are only interested in the heavenly planets. Some people just want a good facility here, and they're not even worried about next life. So that's your reign. Religion means dealing with something according to its inherent nature. Right? So the inherent nature of the soul is servant of God. Right? And of that, the inherent nature is prema. And then according to taste, you situate yourself. But dealing with money means you invest less than you sell it for. You make profit. That's dharma. That's religion. You understand? So religion is one thing. It's just a matter of how much you understand of it. There's not many religions. There's only one religion. Does that make sense? Yes. Right. One God, one religion. Right. The way it works. Yes. Here, sorry, one second, this little microphone thing is coming.
Hare Krishna. If one is on the path of Krishna consciousness, but still is not fully flawless, what is the status of that person, that being?
The point is if one's in Krishna consciousness, that's progressive. So now it's just a matter of how quickly you want to progress. Because the conditioning is there, which means the variety of things that you value, right? The mind values certain things. That's manifest as the body and the, everything connected with the body. Now, if you can, the more you put the attention on Krishna consciousness and the connection of those things with Krishna consciousness, then you advance nicely. If one puts focus on the things of one's conditioning and adds a little bit of Krishna consciousness to it, one gets purified, but the movement will be slower. Right? It's just a matter of, right? Does that make sense? It's just a matter of what focus you're doing. That's all. It's just which, like you have one pot in the front of the fire. Right? And it's on full, you're doing things, putting things, and the one on the back is just sitting there on low. Which one's progressing quicker? Right? So it's like that. It's just a matter of how to connect what you're doing to Krishna. That's all. You do that, you're focused on that, you move very quickly. It doesn't matter what you're connecting. Yudhishthira Maharaj is connecting an empire. Sudama Vipra is connecting basically nothing. Right? And so both of them work. Okay? Yes. Yeah, next to you. Next, just behind.
Krishna Maharaj? Maharaj, sometimes by way of service to Krishna, we're very enthused to bring other people to Krishna consciousness, preaching, especially our family members. Sometimes we don't like to see them where they are, and we like to lift them up, and sometimes it takes over us. So what is a sort of limiting, how do we sort of limit, sort of draw the line where it doesn't affect our own Krishna consciousness, and to what level can we endeavor to try to lift them up?
Family members, okay. Basically, it goes back to Mataji's question before about over-endeavor. Is that it comes back as long as you're giving association, then it's a value. If you're taking association, that's where it's gone beyond what's important. Does that make sense? So giving association means that you're seeing it in connection with Krishna. As long as you stop seeing connection with Krishna, they're definitely not going to see it in connection to Krishna. Occasionally they might, but you know, if it's something that they've caught by an external element, like you're just sitting around all day not chanting, though the chanting annoys them, they might come up and say, why you're not chanting? Aren't you supposed to be the one who chants all day? You know, you might get that, but otherwise, then association means is that you're able to connect it to Krishna. Right? Then you're not the one, then you're Krishna conscious, so whatever, however they interact, they're getting benefit. And you're not taking association because you're not seeing it from their perspective. As soon as you see it from their perspective, meaning that they see how to enjoy the situation rather than how to connect it to Krishna, then that's a, that'll be a weakness. But it's not that you don't understand what perspective that they're using. It's just that you don't use that. Right? You may use it in examples and stuff, but you don't use it. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj, it does. What if the person is dependent on you and they're not sort of, you're very convinced on your part, you are thorough, but still you want to draw that person to, like if the person is invalid, maybe mentally or physically, and you do your little bit to bring them to Krishna consciousness, what do you do then? I mean,
it means that you do what they can do.
Okay.
They can see, hearing and chanting basically everyone can do. So then you involve them there. It's not that they have to, you know, go on the London, you know, marathon for Krishna or something. You know, it's like, it's not necessary. You know what I'm saying? It's just what they can do. So everyone can hear and chant and take prasad. So you engage them like that. So family members, you know, you cook, make nice prasad, do things like that. These are things you can do. You know, and so at the speed that they can handle, you don't want to ruin the relationships, because the only reason that the possibility of them becoming Krishna conscious from your association is because of the relationship. But because of the relationship, it tends to also move slower, unless it moves faster. Sometimes it moves faster, depending upon the background from that. I heard of one devotee, he had met the devotees, discussed with them, became convinced that Krishna consciousness is what he wanted to do. So that evening when he went home, because it was a big family, then they all would sit, there was like 15 of them, they all sit together and have their evening meal. And so while he was at the meal, then, you know the thing, you hit the glass, stand up, make your little presentation. And he was saying how he met the devotees, about Krishna consciousness, convinced that he had decided that this is what he wants to do with his life. So then the family sat and discussed it for you know, a little bit of time. And at the end of the discussion, then the conclusion was, well, therefore, if he felt it was really good, and because all of them, you know, had that kind of bonding and trust with each other, then therefore it should be good for everybody. So all 15 of them would become devotees. So if you have that kind of family, that attachment works very well. But that also includes this element called culture. Right, which is something other than just yogurt, yeah. Okay? You know, or these days, kombucha or something. Yeah.
Thank you, Bharat.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, another couple. Last year, someone's in here. Oh, boy. That's some fancy... I can't even tell what some of the letters mean. Something past people criticized me for intoxication meeting and a casual attitude. To never answer, but I used to be affect me. Some people appreciate me, then I changed and some perform well academically. Question, whether opinion of people should matter to a person? If not, whom should he trust? The point is the opinion is of value if they're of value in the relationship. Right? It means if... People, everybody has an opinion, so that's, it's kind of like, who cares? When Prabhupada said, when they'd ask Prabhupada, what's your opinion? Prabhupada would say, what does it matter, my opinion? It's what Shastra says. That's what is of value. So if Shastra says one thing and people don't like it, who cares? If Shastra recommends it and people are saying, why aren't you doing this? That's something to work out. The same time is that one can use anything to develop. People don't like something, that can make you more determined to do it. So if they don't like your Krishna conscious, you become more determined to be Krishna conscious. Like that. So the point is if it ends in Krishna consciousness, it works. If it doesn't end in Krishna consciousness, it's not. So those who, the point is that Krishna conscious element, those aspects in which Krishna consciousness can be appreciated, that's the association you take. Other areas you don't worry about. In other words, you take what's of value in a person, and that's what you associate with. And other qualities that may not be ideal, those ones you leave. It's like that with anything. You know, people like their potato, but you leave the skin, you leave the little eyes on it, you know, like that. But let's say you're a farmer, you only pick out the ones with eyes on it. You leave the ones that don't have eyes, right? And the ones that are peeled, you definitely don't bother trying to plant. You understand? So, in other words, what is of value that you keep, and what's not, you leave, and it works. Okay, so time's up. We have to stop here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.
Okay.